and Joshua. Okay, find the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. All right. I want to start a series this morning called Idle 2022, Contending for Your Soul. I've been reading a book by Alex Eidelman. I believe his first name is, but his last name is Eidelman. And he talks about the gods that are at war. And it's a little g because, honestly, there's only one and living true God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that created the universe. He's the one that sustains the universe. And he's the one that's in control of all things. But this morning, we need to realize and understand that the biggest sin that we commit in our lives is idolatry. In the book of Exodus, God gives us the Ten Commandments. But the one that we break most of all is the sin of idolatry. We worship other gods. Now, I'm not talking about how we're setting up stone statues and how we've got different wooden figures that you bow down to every day. I'm hoping that there's nobody in this room this morning that does that. I hope you don't go home and burn incense to a figure of Buddha, or you go home and burn some kind of a substance to another god. That's not the kind of idolatry that I'm talking about. All right, and we're going to consider this for the next few weeks of how to deal with idolatry, what's going and recognizing idolatry in our lives. There's a story told in the book about Michael Jordan. How many of you are familiar with Michael Jordan? How many of you know Michael Jordan? Some of you aren't even paying any attention. Michael Jordan from the University of North Carolina. Some of you are Tar Heel fans in here this morning. I know some of you are mourning this morning. But some of you are Tar Heel fans. And you know Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan, as you know, represented Nike. Or Nike, if you want to pronounce it that way. But he represented that company, and he still does. And he had a very good friend named Kelvin Sampson, another great basketball player. But Kelvin Sampson represented Puma. And so one day, Michael Jordan went over to Kelvin's house, and he didn't bring a jacket. It was rather cold. And Kelvin said, "Listen, Michael, I want you to go to my closet down at the end of the hallway, and I've got all kinds of jackets and all kinds of equipment. Why don't you just go down there and grab you a jacket?" So Michael goes down there and comes out, and he comes back with a gigantic armload of coats and equipment and uniforms and all kinds of stuff, and he puts it right in the middle of the floor. And Kelvin looks at him and says, "What are you doing?" Michael said, "Hold on a minute." And he goes back and gets another load and throws it right in the middle of the floor. So this has got him kind of confused. What's going on? So Michael says, "Do you have any scissors?" And Kelvin says, "Yeah, they're in the kitchen." So he says, he goes and gets them, brings them to Michael. And Michael sits down and begins to cut apart every single piece of clothing right there on the floor. Cutting off the sleeves, cutting off everything, making holes in it, making the clothing completely unwearable. And Kelvin's looking at him and says, "Have you lost your mind?" And Michael Jordan says, "No, I've not lost my mind." He says, "Why are you cutting up this clothing?" He says, "Listen, I represent the brand Nike, and I am not going to wear any clothing that has Puma on it whatsoever." And all the clothing that Michael Jordan proceeded to destroy had the Puma logo on it. And he says, "Here's what I'm going to do, Kelvin. I want you to give me the amount of money that I have just destroyed. I want you to give me that figure, and I'm going to call up Nike. I'm going to tell them to send clothing and equipment that matches it and even doubles it to replace what I've destroyed." Kelvin scratched his head and said, "Why are you doing this?" He says, "Listen, if you're going to do the best, you need to do the best, not some second-rate company." See, brothers and sisters, you say, that's kind of a silly illustration, but here's the situation. We have the living and true God. The one who created us, the one who sustains us, the one who loves us. But what's going on is that some of us at times in our lives, as a matter of fact, all of us at times in our lives, we're trying to serve a second-rate God. We're trying to serve a God that wants to destroy and kill us and have nothing to do with us whatsoever. We need to be so cognizant of that, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to destroy the influence of that second-rate God so that we can serve the living and true God. That's what Michael Jordan was trying to get across. Now, I'm not saying Nike's a god. I'm not saying that we need to worship Nike. But we need to be willing to destroy anything that is not number one. And that should be God Almighty himself. Now, turn, Joshua, if you would. We're going to be in chapter number 23. Chapter number 23. Joshua is coming to the end of his life. He has worshipped God and served God all these years. He was the leader as they came into the promised land. He has seen all the ups and downs of the children of Israel. He's seen everything that they've gone through. Now he's getting ready to die. And God gives Joshua this message. Says, Joshua, I want you to tell my people this. Chapter 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies around about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. He waxed old. Now, what does waxed old mean? Wax on, wax off? It means he got old, all right? How many of you are waxing old this morning? All right, a few of you. How many? Some of you are saying, Brother Brian, my waxing days are long gone, all right? It just means, simply means that Joshua had one foot on a banana peel and one foot in the grave on the other side, okay? He was getting ready to pass away, all right? Verse number 2. And it says, and Joshua called for all of Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. So in other words, he got all the leaders together. And of course, he couldn't get the whole nation of Israel because by this time, there were several million of them. 4, 5, 6, 7 million Israelites. So he couldn't speak to all of them at one time. So he gathered all the leaders. Now you say, now why did he gather all the leaders? Because leadership is the most important aspect. Those who are in charge are the ones that help make the decisions and the ones that give the guidance and direction. We say, Brother Brian, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Every single one of you are a leader. In some way, some form, some fashion. Regardless of your age, you have an influence on people around you. You're either leading people to the Lord or you're leading people away from the Lord. So why did Joshua just grab the leaders? Because he knew that if he could tell them the truth, he knew that if he could influence them, that they could influence those who were around them. See, Joshua couldn't touch every family. Joshua couldn't go to every home, but he knew that if he could talk to the leaders of the homes, that they then could talk to their families, and their families could talk to their families, and on down the line. See, God's interested in the very minutest things about our lives. And I'm glad that you're here this morning, and you're not here by accident, and I'm hoping that you're looking at God's word with me. You're saying, okay, God, what can I hear from you this morning? So he gets all the people together. He says, listen, I'm old. I'm about to die. And then he says in this verse number 3, he says, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that has fought for you. He says, listen, remember what God's done for you. Remember, before you even got here, God laid the plans out for you. Before you even got here, he had the people living in this land dig wells. He had the people living in this land make vineyards. He had the people living in this land build cities so that when you came into the promised land, you didn't have to do any of that. God gave all that to you because he promised it to you. Brothers and sisters, think for a minute. Think of all the good things that God has given to you that you don't deserve. How many of you have at least one thing that God has given to you that you don't deserve? At least one thing. I can think of a million things. It takes me forever to list them. But my most important thing that God's gave to me I don't deserve is my good looks. No, I'm just teasing. Is my Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave me a wonderful, godly wife. He gave me some precious children. He gave me a wonderful body of Christians to lead and direct and to shepherd. He gave me a home. He gave me food. He gave me clothing. He's provided. He gave me a sound mind most of the time. The blessings that God has given to me, I don't deserve them. But His mercy and His grace has been provided for me. I didn't earn them. I didn't dig them. But God gave them to me. And so Joshua is reminding the people, before you got into the promised land, God gave these things to you. And you would think that the children of Israel would be more grateful. You would think they'd be shouting and praising God every day. Oh God, thank you. But you'd be thinking that we'd be doing the same thing. We'd wake up every day. Oh, thank you God for what you've given to me. Oh God, you're so wonderful. But you know what we usually do? We stumble to the kitchen for the coffee pot. And then we bump our toe on the wall and we start, who put that wall there? And we start griping and complaining and we start our day off negatively. And I understand we have issues of life. I know we have illnesses and I know we have all these things. But brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. Thank God for what He's given to you. Thank God for what He's done for you, what He's kept you from. The Olympics in China right now. Some of you love to watch them. We love to watch them. Bobsledding and all that short track skating and everything. I love watching that stuff. But reality, the people in China, they don't have anything that we have. They're in a horrible, horrible human rights situation. I thank God I wasn't born in China. How many of you are glad you're born in America? I thank God for that. So He says, I want to remind you of all these things that God has done for you. Look what it says in verse number 6. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside to the right or to the left, and that you come not among these nations, that they remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. Now, the children of Israel didn't completely get rid of everybody at this place. God told them to. God said, get rid of everything. Start brand new. But the children of Israel said, well, you know what? We like that. And we like that. And we like that. So we're going to go ahead and leave that alone. How many of you watch those housing renovation shows? All right, you go in there and they're looking through and they're saying, oh, this kitchen's got to go. And they go into the bathroom and say, who in the world wants a closet tub with gold on the feet? And they got all these different things. And you go into a home and you're doing a home renovation. Most of the times you get rid of everything and start brand new. But the problem is, Israel didn't do that. They started keeping things that would influence them in a negative way. The little gods, they didn't get rid of all the ungodly things. So what happened? As time went by, and as they grew, and as they continued to occupy the land, they started making little compromises. Well, you know what? That little situation with those people and those gods, they're okay. They're not so bad. We can let them worship their gods over there, and they could sacrifice different things, and they can worship the sun god and the moon god. That's okay. They're not bothering us. But what happens as you continue to allow that, you continue to let those things influence you, pretty soon you start serving those gods. For instance, all right, Andy Griffith. How many of y'all like Andy Griffith? I love Andy Griffith. If you watch Andy Griffith, they've got some fantastic moral stories in Andy Griffith. But do you know what's missing from Andy Griffith? Say, Brother Brian, don't destroy Andy Griffith for me. Andy Griffith never talks about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will say, Brother Brian, it's a secular show. Why in the world should Andy Griffith talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because if they do, people will stop watching it. See, Andrew Griffith is a good show to watch. But if you allow yourself to become influenced by the things on television and you start getting away from the Bible and things of God, guess what begins to start happening? You start letting those things be acceptable to you. See, it starts out small, but it gets bigger and bigger. Now, I'm not saying go home and don't watch Andy Griffith. That's not what I'm saying. But if you start allowing the little things to influence you, pretty soon the big things are no big deal anymore. Who'd have thought that we'd be dealing with things in society nowadays that we're dealing with 5 years ago? Same-sex marriage, abortion on demand, all these things. I was speaking to someone and they told me that the teacher told their child at 7 years old that it was okay to do some certain sexual things. Make you sick to your stomach. That's acceptable nowadays in school. Who'd have thought 5 years ago that took place? Who'd have thought it's acceptable? Brothers and sisters, you know what's going on? We as human beings, even as Christians, we're allowing these little things, not a big deal, get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon, it's okay. I've got a spot on my arm right here. I noticed it several years ago. Not a big deal. Then it began to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. I went and saw the doctor. It started out like this, and then it became like that. I went to the doctor. She said, "That's cancer." And she gave me some cream to put on it to eliminate it. Why not? Why'd she do that? Because she didn't want it to kill me. Brothers and sisters, what was this became that. What about your life? Are there some little cancers in your spiritual life that are going like this? Growing? Joshua said, "Listen, the living and true God gave you this land. The living and true God gave you everything. But the problem is, you're allowing yourself to worship other gods." Now stay with me, stay with me. Look at number, give me the first slide there, Brother Terry. God loves us enough to want to be our God. I want you to realize that. See, a lot of people would listen to what I'm saying, "Well, God hates me and God wants me to be miserable and God wants me to hate my..." No, He loves you enough to want to be your God. I thank God He loves me enough that He wanted to have a relationship with me. I thank God He loved me enough to take me as I was and to clean me and to save my sorry soul. He loves you enough. He wants to be your God. Woo! I remember in school being picked last. I hated being picked last. Okay, we'll give you Schuler, but you have to give us 5 runs in with that. No, that's not right. I hated being picked last. You know what? God looked down from heaven and He says, "I want him." He looked down from heaven and He looked you straight and He says, "You know what? I want Ed. I want Wendy. I don't want Danny Childers, but I want Wanda right there." No. He loves you enough to be and want to be your God. Look at the second thing. God loves us enough to show us the truth. He loves you enough to show you the truth. You love your children most of the time. You love your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews. You love them. Would you ever intentionally give them some poison? Would you ever intentionally give them a cup full of strychnine and say, "Here, sweetie, drink this"? No, you know what we do? We put a big X on it, a big skull and crossbones, and we put all kinds of warning because we don't want people getting involved with that because it'll kill them. You know what? God loves you enough to tell you the truth. He loves you enough to say, hey, you don't want none of that. Hey, don't have nothing to do with that. It's going to destroy you. I love the yellow lines on the highway. The yellow lines delineate one lane from another. I've been on roads before that didn't have that yellow line. And you didn't know where to drive because you were like, okay, well, can I drive on this side or this side? I'm not sure. You got a big Mack truck coming to you. You got to decide. That yellow line says, hey, this is the boundary. God's word is not a bunch of rules and regulations to keep us from having fun. God's word says, hey, listen, this is how to live so that you can enjoy what I've given to you. He loves me enough to give me the truth. And Joshua says, people, God's given all these things to you. Why? Because he wants you to be miserable? He wants you to walk like robots? Yes, I will do his will. No, he gives you the word so that you know how to live. I remember growing up in camping, and us boys would get together, and we'd bring all kinds of stuff to go camping, and we'd make what you got stew. So we'd get a big pot, and we'd fill it up with creek water. And we put it on the stove and on the fire and let it start heating up. And then people would just start throwing in all kinds of things. Vienna sausages and jerky and some kind of mysterious thing from the bottom of somebody's pocket. And all kinds of different things. And it'd be called what you got stew. And we would eat that without a second thought. Sounds pretty nasty, don't it? But you know what? Unfortunately, in our lives, we're eating what you got stew and letting the world feed us with whatever it wants to feed us. God says, I got some filet mignon over here for you. Or for those of you who are vegetarians, I got a fantastic chef salad over here for you. You don't got to eat that what you got stew. So Joshua says, listen guys, this is what God has done for you. All right, verse number 7, he says that you come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but instead cleave unto the Lord your God as you have done unto this day. He says, listen, don't be part of all of that junk. We all know story after story after story. People who walked with the Lord, but then they went off the deep end. It didn't just happen overnight. It was something slow because they allowed themselves to get involved with things that were against the things of God. Now, I'm not judging anybody because guess what? I've been there. I've walked that path. I got saved in Germany. And I was on fire for the Lord, and I was reading my Bible, and I was going to church and everything else. And then I met a pretty young lady. Not that pretty young lady. I met another pretty young lady before. This is BM, before Melissa. And I met her, and she persuaded me away from the things of the Lord. And I got myself into some bad situations. It didn't just happen overnight. It became slow and slow and slow. I wish somebody had taken the time to set me aside and say, Brian, listen, this is not good. Love me enough to tell me the truth. How many of you wish you had somebody in your life at one time tell you, sit down and tell you the truth? But you know what? I don't have to live with that regret anymore. Because today I can live in the truth. Look at the third thing real quick. Terry, show it to us. Or Joe. Determine what God you worship. Determine what God you worship. I want you to write these down. Write these down right now. Get your piece of paper, get your pen. This is going to help you determine which God you worship. Number one, help you determine which God you worship. Number one. Number one. What are you disappointed with? What do you disappoint? What disappoints you? Now, I'm not saying answer all these questions right now. I want you to mull these over this week. What are you disappointed with? Think about that. Helps you determine what God you worship. Number two. I love my spelling. Make time and financial. What do you make time and financial sacrifices for? What do you make time and financial sacrifices for? That's interesting. That helps you determine what God you worship. What do you make time and financial sacrifices for? Number three. What do you worry about? What do you worry about? This is going towards helping you figure out which God you worship. Number four. What do you dream about? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of dreams where you think you're falling. That's not the kind of dream I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what do you daydream about? What do you want? Wow, man, I'd love to have a gigantic mansion on an island somewhere with servants and all kinds of money and all kinds of... Okay, what do you dream about? What is your ultimate goal? All right, next one. Whose applause do you long for? Whose approval do you want? See, those things in of themselves are not necessarily bad. But if you'll take the time this week and ask yourself those questions, it will help you and myself to determine what God that I worship. I want to confess to you this morning that I am an idolater. This last one really hits home with me. You say, why does it do that? Because I long for the applause of people. I want people to be happy with me. I'm a people pleaser at times. Even to the point at times in my life that no matter what God says, I still want people to be happy with me. I don't like it when people are mad at me. I don't like it when people look at me and, I don't like that. How many of you have that same problem sometimes? That becomes idolatry to the point where I worship people's applause more than I worship God. I'm just confessing to you. So as I'm studying this, the Holy Spirit said, Brian, as you're sharing these messages, you make sure that you're doing it to glorify me and not to make people happy. Whew. My rear end is sore. He done whooped me. Those five questions to consider help us to determine what God we worship. Help us determine that. Now, we'll continue in Joshua next week. But I want you to remember this. God loves you enough to be your God. And He loves you enough to tell you the truth. God loves you. And he wants you to worship him with your life today. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. I want to dare you with something today. You can keep your heads, you don't have to bow your heads or close your eyes anymore. Just look at me for a second. I want to dare you to do something today. I want to dare you to talk to God and say, God, would you please show me in my life the things that I'm holding on to, the things that I'm enamored with, the things that I think about. God, show me if those are things that I should not be enamored with. It may be so brutal, like Michael Jordan did, cut all those clothing up that didn't belong to Nike. Now, I'm not saying go home and cut your clothes up because your parents will beat you, okay? I'm not saying go home and do that and start destroying your televisions. That's not what I'm telling you to do. But I want you to ask God, God, all those little G's, would you show me? Because I want to worship you. Help me to find the gods that I'm worshiping, God, that are not true gods. Ask him this morning. Ask him today. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. And God, I know the opposition. Satan wants us to worship him. And he wants us to make all kinds of excuses for why we do this and why we do that and how it's not so bad. But Father, you deserve our worship. And you alone. Forgive me, God, for worshiping the applause of other people. I hate it. And I'm asking you, God, to deliver me from that today. Father, I pray for these precious souls out here this morning. The little G's that we all worship, would you reveal them to us so that we would worship you as you deserve? It may be painful and it may hurt and it may cause some division. But God, you're the one that heals. You love us enough to want to be our God, and you love us enough to tell us the truth. Father, help us to be what you want us to be. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Shirley's going to play. If you have a need, I invite you to come. If you don't, that's fine, but you can make an altar where you're standing. But if you have a need this morning, something God's spoken to your heart about, I'd be glad to pray with you about it.